Hi, everybody. This is April, speaking to you from Space Year 2023. That's right. I'm cutting in here to let you know that it has now been 10 years, a full calendar decade since I started this podcast, Go Bayside. And as you've probably noticed the entire time, it was very DIY. I was never on a network. There's never been any ads in any of the episodes. And now that it's been 10 entire years that it's been out there in the ether on every possible podcast player for you to enjoy, I am taking the first 50 episodes and I am archiving them. So episodes 1 through 50 will now only be available on my Patreon, which is patreon.com/AprilRichardson. If you go there, there's several tiers that I think are very reasonable. The first being just to have access to all of the Go Bayside archive episodes. The rest being to catch up on the new stuff that I'm making should you be interested in hearing me talk about other things that aren't Saved by the Bell related. So there you go. It's been 10 years, you guys. 10 years listening to me talk nonsense about this television show. And now you can join me over at patreon.com/AprilRichardson. Or if it's easier for you to remember, you can go to baremins.com. That is BAREMINS.com. And you can find all of the old Go Bayside episodes there for you to enjoy. Play until your heart's content. Leave comments. See the photos on my old green couch. Join us there, please. And thank you so much for 10 years of supporting Go Bayside. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Go Bayside, the Saved by the Bell podcast, where I have a friend over to watch an episode of the show, and then we critically deconstruct it for you guys. And if you're a regular listener, you know all this already, but let me go ahead and tell you that my friend Ben Gleave is here.
Yep.
Yes.
That is true.
Close personal friend of Mr. Belding.
Yes,
because
that
I saw
also
him
true.
At your birthday party on the dance floor.
That is true. Yeah, he did come to my birthday party. He often comes. He tries to come, and I try to attend his birthday parties.
That's very kind of you.
I just went to his birthday this year, and I walked up to his party.
Uh-huh.
And he loves Dimples karaoke place
sure,
in
yes.
Burbank.
Yeah.
And he was walking out when I arrived. He's walking this young, very attractive African-American woman to her car, but I didn't know like what was happening. I thought, is Belding leaving his own party early with the hot girl?
Right.
And then I approached them, and it was Lark Voorhees.
No!
Yeah. He was walking Lisa Turtle to her car, and I met Lisa Turtle, and it was pretty amazing.
Was she cool to you, or was
so
she
nice.
Weird?
She was nice. She seemed a little maybe overwhelmed by human contact, but she was
right.
How lovely.
And when was this? How recently?
This was like 3 months ago.
Wow.
So that was cool. They're still like cool. With
they're
each
still
other,
tight.
You know?
So
yeah.
She lives here too?
I don't know if she was
in Burbank
town visiting. Oh. I don't know. She seemed to have her own car, I think. So
right.
She was here. I mean, it was a privilege, you know?
Yeah.
A real, and
of
then,
course.
Yeah. And then Haskins and I sang Heartbreak Hotel.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's my two favorite tastes coming together.
Yeah.
You see all the Elvis stuff around here.
I think we might have sang two songs together too. It was pretty great.
That is amazing. And meeting Lisa, cherry on top.
Who would you rather make love to, Belding or Elvis?
Okay.
It's a legitimate question.
Hey, give me some time to think about it. It's a legitimate question.
Legitimate.
It's really not. Okay. I don't think anybody, look, Belding, I'm sure you're a nice guy.
Yeah.
I think you could ask man, woman, child, spanning race, creed, or age. Everybody's going to say Elvis on that.
No.
Mr. Belding's wife's going to go
hey
Elvis
day,
on
Haskins
that.
In his hey. Skinny,
can you tell me this? When was
virile
his heyday?
Haskins? I think
can
the episode
he's
rocked. He looked great, man.
I'd like those dates. When? Give me the years that were his heyday.
His hey, man. I don't know. Elvis and his hey was kind of like overblown, you know? Everybody
hey,
wanted him.
Calm down. Calm down. Okay, well, the episode that we just watched, it was called Hold Me Tight.
Oh, yeah.
And the original air date was November 23rd, 1991.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and what I need you to do is give a short synopsis of the plot.
Sure. So, I mean, it was a riveting plot.
Yeah.
And it's an episode that was tough for me, too, because I usually don't like when the episodes are, like, largely not just normal episodes that take place in the diner or in the hallways of the school. And this was happening a lot in the gym.
This had a lot of gym action.
And largely around a new character, which freaks me out also.
Yes.
I like core characters.
Yes.
But, you know, it worked out. It worked out. This woman, Christy, all of a sudden appears in Bayside.
Yes.
And I guess she just transferred there because...
No real backstory. Christy appears.
Yeah. And she... appears at tryouts for the wrestling team,
yeah.
Which for some reason suddenly Zach Morris is a reporter.
Well, hold on. Just give a general framework synopsis. And then we'll go.
Not frame by frame.
No, it's just, we'll do that later. It's just Got Christy it. Shows up, wants Got to it. Be a wrestler.
Wants to be a wrestler.
Yeah.
Everybody mocks the idea.
Yeah.
She creates a protest thanks to Jesse Spano.
Yes.
She gets the audition, the tryout rather. I'm an actor, I'm sorry. The tryout.
Sure.
Kicks ass, gets on the team.
Yeah.
And then... romance flourishes between her and Zach Morris.
Yes.
As it often does for him, that lucky son of a
bitch.
How
could it not?
Yeah, he's very handsome.
Yeah.
And big cell phone and all.
Yeah.
And then there's some strife because she's too strong for him. Also, she's a strong personality. Jesse Spano thinks she's trying to get AC Slater from him due to hold that she puts him on. And Jesse walks in at the wrong moment, of course.
Right,
succumb
right.
style. But then there's the big match against their rival school, against whatever school.
Valley.
Against Valley.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's tied 3-3 until Christy comes in at the end.
Kills it.
Tiebreaker. Kills it.
Happy ending.
Happy ending. Kisses Zach Morris on the mouth.
We never hear from Christy again.
We'll never see her again.
Never see her again.
You can't come down from that much of a high.
After that, you're like, I got to just transfer to another school and do this all over again.
She just goes school to school, attacking men.
What if that's her thing, though?
Winning wrestling matches.
Going school to school being like, I'm like the Rosa Parks of girl wrestlers.
She is, yeah.
I'm going to come break down barriers at every school.
But she's also a little bit Harriet Tubman-esque. She just goes like
Underground Railroad. Yeah.
She just digs herself hedgehog style to the next
school. To another school. And is like, I'm here to free all y'all lady wrestlers.
That's right. Yeah.
That's Christy's lot in
she
life.
She wrestles them from their previous limitations.
Wrestles them from oppression.
Yes, exactly right.
That's amazing.
That could have been the name of the episode.
Wrestle you from oppression.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's really get into it.
Okay.
And you are correct. It opens during a wrestling match, and Zach is
practice.
Oh, it's practice.
Practice.
And it's on the radio.
Yeah, he's just there. He's like getting backstory.
You're right.
There was no other team there. It was just practice.
Because
the first shot was like the other members of the Bayside wrestling team. Way overacting, they're stretching in the background.
Oh, of
like,
course,
this is
yeah.
their moment to shine.
Yeah.
And it's the early 90s. You go big with your background acting.
Oh, of course. You gotta stand out.
Calisthenics as big as possible.
Yes. Yes. Wow, you're totally right. So it was only practice.
Oh, yeah.
Yet KKTY Tiger Radio is broadcasting.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, look, you gotta go in depth. Zach Morris was the Bob Costas. Of high school wrestling coverage. He really gets in there.
You want to know these players.
You do.
You want to know what makes them tick.
Absolutely.
You want to know what inspires them to
Absolutely.
Wrestle.
Absolutely. And I think he said his own name 4 times in his 3-sentence report.
It's true.
Zach Morris here. We're talking with Zach Morris and some of the wrestlers here. Zach Morris reporting live. He's very into himself.
But come on, he should be.
He should be. He's gorgeous.
If I were Zach Morris, I would just stare into a mirror all day long.
You would?
That's all. I often think about, like, no joke, if we're going to talk about, like, you're my partner, right? You see who my crushes are.
Yeah.
If I'm Morrissey, if I'm, like, 1992 era Morrissey, which is, I think, his heyday, I would just stare into the mirror and jerk off all day. That's all I would do. I'd be like, look at how good looking I am.
Yeah,
he probably did that.
But you assume that he's attracted to himself. Isn't he attracted to girls?
No.
You don't think so? He's a gay dude?
He's pretty gay, dude.
He is?
Yeah.
Interesting. And that doesn't affect your attraction to a man? Is to know that he has no interest in you.
Unfortunately, even in real life, it has not served as a roadblock when it should have.
That's great.
Yeah. So, no, it doesn't. I mean, obviously,
Elvis
that doesn't make him less.
Because, you know, Elvis would have wanted to bang you down.
Hey, look at me. Do you know, my whole style is dress like a lady that maybe Elvis would have tried to date in 1960.
That's right.
That's like my whole aesthetic.
Thank you very much.
It totally is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously, that's my inspiration and how I look. But, no, it doesn't. If a guy's gay, I mean, he's still hot. It's not like it makes him look uglier.
No, that's true. But I guess, I don't know. I felt like for a lot of women, they're more attracted to a man's, like, raw essence and their, you know what I mean? I don't know. It was just physical looks.
Then
so
I can
much.
Only be into like the Marlboro Man or something.
All I got going for me is raw essence. I don't have. It's not like raw I have this like essence. Brooding fucking look. It's just raw essence.
No, I have many different types. My number one type is unfortunately alpha males. It is people like Zach Morris.
That's
just
weird.
Aryan dreams. Just like tall, yeah. Blonde hair, blue eyed dudes.
Yeah,
like
you would have been great in
1930s weird.
Germany. Would have been big.
Yeah. See, I don't like that about me. Like that. Like. Both of my two most recent exes were like 6'3", blonde hair, blue eyed, muscle dudes.
Interesting.
I know.
I'm
doomed because normally I lucked out those two times because normally those guys are not checking for me.
Right.
Like greaser dudes are checking for me.
Does being on TV help you get that kind of guy?
No.
Do you like?
No.
Not at all?
Both of those dudes, no, had nothing to do with being on TV. Being on TV doesn't really help me to get
anything.
Is it anything.
Intimidating for guys sometimes? Much like Christy intimidated the
right,
Zach
the strength
Morris of
the
world.
My stardom.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? No, it's not. I don't think so at all. it gets me some creepy fan mail. Some super
really?
Creepy fan mail that
really?
I have legitimately forwarded to friends like, this is evidence in my
really?
Future murder trial.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
But also like kind of cool though?
No. Oh, some, no, but some, when I say creepy, I mean creepy serial killer in-depth sex stuff.
Really?
Yeah, it's horrifying. It's horrifying.
Damn, it must be
it's
so much
not
different
easy being a
being
lady
a girl,
in comedy, Ben.
I'm sure that's very different.
It's really not.
Yeah.
You it's haven't made, I mean, you get an email from a lady that's like, yo, I want to hump you. You're like, yeah, of course. Like, yeah. You're on board with it.
Well,
for
I mean,
a lady,
it very much depends on several factors, but I'm not offended by it.
Right. And you also
not
don't, like,
out.
Fear for your life.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different.
Typically, you're right. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Yeah. We digress. Also, I have a question. That first scene, he walks in with his enormous radio broadcasting over-the-shoulder packet.
No, you're getting ahead of it. That's in the girls' locker room. In the first scene, they're set up. Remember, Screech is like at the broadcasting booth.
Oh, that's right.
It's like
okay.
A legit
right.
booth they have in the gym.
I was kind of assuming he had that on there, too, but that's true.
Yeah, that's
but he's wearing
up.
His classic white sneakers.
Oh,
he
huge.
Always, which I don't even – it never affected his popularity with the girls, was to have just Seinfeldian – white sneakers.
It is true. Like
never
that.
Matched
well,
the outfit.
That's true. But they were like high tops. Here's what I'll say about Zach.
Yeah.
Zach's just one of those dudes who just has it, though.
Yeah.
It kind of, it's almost what he looks like is irrelevant. It helps that he's handsome or whatever.
You think, really?
But he's like, he's just got that confidence. He's got that swagger. Let me tell you, this is the thing about ladies, Ben.
Yeah.
Confidence will take you a long way.
I'm out then.
What? You have confidence?
No, I'm kidding. But let me ask you a question. Back in the 80s and 90s when this show was in its hay, I keep saying in its hay.
I like
big
it.
Phrase
I like
this
it.
Time. Were those outfits even then? Were they cool? Or were they? Were then? Were we like?
I think they were cool.
These
then.
Are ridiculous, multicolored, absurd outfits.
Right. I think for Screech that rings true. I even wrote down because in a future scene he's wearing a shirt that has nothing but violins on it. It's like printed with many violins,
yeah.
And that's it. I think Screeches are always ridiculous. But looking back, I don't know. I feel like some of these. Are cool.
Like this shirt he's wearing right now in this freeze frame
that's
at the end
weird.
Of the episode.
That's like wearing, some Navajo print
yeah,
rug.
Yeah, it's a Navajo print rug with like a jean, with like a denim base. It's really weird.
Yeah, I can't, to be honest, I can't really tell you because I can't, because we look at it now. You look at things you wore then and you're like, oh, that's corny.
Yeah.
But it was probably of the time.
That's true. I think I dress more like Screech, sadly, a lot of the time.
Really?
Big white t-shirts and.
Well, I think if anybody in here is like the worst, it's Jessie's the most mom-ish. She's always dressed like a mom.
Just in general, I always hated her character so much. It was the only character I could not have liked less.
Really?
And ended up giving me such respect for Elizabeth Berkley as an actress. When my mind was blown when she did Showgirls, like right after Saved by the Bell, I was like, what do you mean?
Her rage.
She's not actually like a horribly bitchy, unpleasant look on her face feminist the whole time.
Right.
She actually was acting.
So
it blew my mind.
I can only take away from this that you are a misogynist.
What? How do you figure?
Who hates women.
No.
That's all I'm taking
love,
away from this.
I love feminists. But why you gotta have like an unpleasant, like constipated look on your face during the feminism?
Yeah, but as we get into this episode and even in previous ones, she's not the greatest representative for feminism.
No.
Because she's gonna turn on this
lady.
Yeah,
she does not
which we'll get to.
Hold true to her beliefs.
So, yeah, weirdly, they have a full radio set up in the gym to broadcast the wrestling practice. Now, in the middle of this, Christy just walks in and says to Zach, excuse me. To get his attention.
Right.
And Zach, with that swagger on 100,000 million, says, you're perfect. You don't need any excuses.
That's so good. What a line.
Come on, man. That's like pre line. The game. That's pre-mystery, pre the game.
That's true. He really
already
like,
got
he
that
immediately
shit down.
Flipped it right there.
Yes.
Power switch.
Yes. So she's like, oh, thank you, whatever. And then says, I'm looking, you know, for the wrestling coach.
Which also makes a lot of sense. If you walk in looking for the wrestling coach, you'd avoid asking all of the wrestlers.
All the wrestlers on the floor.
And you ask the guy mid broadcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the one you interrupt.
Yes, of course.
That makes a lot of sense.
Not the guys in the middle of the act of wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she asks Zach, he's like, why do you want to know? And she's like, yeah, I want to try out for the team. And then Nessie's like, what? You're a girl.
Yeah, he makes the first misogynistic joke. He's like, yeah. I can't even understand this.
Yeah.
You're a girl.
You're a girl. Well, this makes no sense.
Yeah, and that's when you think there's not going to be a future for them right off the bat.
Right. You're
that's,
like,
that's how Saved by the Bell plant seeds that take you the wrong way and they flip it on you. It's very,
like,
it's like pre-M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, totally. The twist is they really like each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so she's like, yeah, Doi, I know I still want to try out for the team. And then that's when the coach actually walks in, and you did know him.
Yeah, comedian Monty Hoffman.
Yes.
Did many shows with him, and you informed me that he passed away.
Yeah, on a previous episode, Dana Gould said that he only recently passed away because Dana Gould had already known him.
The wrestling teacher in a lot of episodes?
No, on the previous episode, he played the shop teacher.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah, I did a lot of shows with Monty. Very nice guy, and his big catchphrase as a comedian was pussy. He would just say pussy.
How is that a catchphrase?
Oh, it's a catchphrase.
Is it?
Believe me, it's a
so he would say pussy and like the crowd would cheer.
I can't think of a phrase I want to catch more than that, honestly.
Right, right.
Yeah, the crowd would, I don't know if they would cheer, but
it was a known thing.
It was
like,
a thing he would do in his act a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
He would say pussy, well, in that exact voice.
Rest in peace, sir.
Rest in pussy. Hopefully that's what he's got.
Hopefully. Hopefully that's what he's doing now.
Absolutely.
That's what heaven is filled with.
Should be all pussy up there.
Yeah.
Up there. And then Monty also makes a great joke, too, when she says she wants to be in the wrestling team. He's like, this is a gym, not a Jane.
Thank you. I wrote that down as well.
Which is priceless.
Which is a total dad joke.
But also, it's true.
It is true. I mean,
it's not
solid,
a Jane.
You're right.
It's a gym.
I mean, it's a fact.
Just a fact.
On top of being a joke.
Right.
And of course, as we've established in other episodes, like the writers are all like 60-year-old white men. So that's a perfect dad joke.
It really
for
is.
All of them.
It's not a great joke.
So he goes, what? You can't do it. You're a girl. Totally openly makes fun of her. And that's when she's kind of like, what? Let me show you what I'm made of.
Yeah.
And, you know, pins. I don't know shit about. I have to say, first of all, before we even get any further, I don't know anything about wrestling. I know nothing about it.
I don't know a ton about it. I know it gives you cauliflower ear a lot of times.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I know stuff about pro wrestling because as a little redneck growing up in Georgia,
oh, sure.
I fully went to see wrestling
all
the time.
You know that's not real, right? You know it's not real.
I don't appreciate you
saying
that.
Saved by the Bell's realer.
Realer than wrestling. Yeah, of course. But like, I grew up going to like Monday Night Raw because WWF and stuff, well, now WWE, it was based in Atlanta.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're from Atlanta?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
So not only did I go to that stuff, but like I would see wrestlers out all the time.
Really?
I used to see Buff Bagwell out at the Steak and Shake by my parents' house all the time.
Really?
Him and like Lex Luger went to a friend of mine's gym. Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, lived in my friend's neighborhood. And you know his son is Gold Dust.
I don't know who Goldust is.
Oh, he wrestled after him. But Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, lived in my friend Jeremy's neighborhood. And it was the best because every Halloween, we would race to his house because he gave out full-size candy bars.
Oh, smart. Yeah.
So we're like, oh, this guy's
wrestlers
balling.
Wrestlers have to give out full-size candy bars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't follow it too much. I did own some of those like plastic rubber wrestling dolls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in my later years, maybe like 6-7 years ago, I was doing a web series for Playboy, non-adult division.
They have
a non-adult division for some reason. And one of the episodes, Rowdy Roddy Piper was our guest. And we interviewed him in a wrestling ring in his backyard. And he choked me out for real. And I lost consciousness. I signed up for this. I volunteered for him to do that.
Did
to
you
me.
Have to sign a waiver beforehand
no,
being like, what
no.
if he knocks you
it
out?
It was just like so ghetto-ly done. He's like, who's going to let me do my sleeper hold on him? And I like, yeah, I'll do it. And then between the next setup, I'm like, we're going to fake that, right? And he goes, listen, brother, I don't care about this macho shit. We can fake it if you want, but let me just tell you, it's completely safe. All I do is cut off the blood flow to your brain.
Oh.
You lose consciousness for about 30 seconds. You come right back, and you're all good. And I'm like, oh, the whole crew is like nodding their heads, like, do it, do it. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And got knocked out. Everything went black. I wake up. I was like, it's online somewhere. Like, it's weird. I came into like horse noises when I came back to.
Right.
And for a week, my throat was so sore. I went home and WebMD'd it, and you can die from that apparently, like fairly easily.
Well, sure, because it's if it's cutting off blood to your brain.
Yeah, it's not a good move.
No.
I've never been the same since.
That explains a lot. It does. It really does.
But it was pretty scary. But
that's not. Doesn't that guy do stand-up now?
He tries to do stand-up, yes.
Have you ever been on a show with him or anything?
No. No, but I did get to roast him years later, and I told the story about how he almost killed me.
How he almost murdered you with his bare hands.
Yeah.
Not cool.
He is,
yeah, I see his name on the marquee at the Improv sometimes.
I know,
and
it's pretty amazing.
What?
He's a nice guy. Doesn't have a
great
memory.
He's a nice guy.
He
almost murdered me, but a cool
dude.
No, he
was so sweet. After he did that, he was like, look, I'm sorry it hurts you. Let me show you how to do the hold yourself. I almost choked him out then when he taught me how to do it.
Right.
It apparently works. You know, it's not about strength. You can just really get that right grip.
It's just like about angles.
Yeah. It really is about angles.
All right.
So that was exciting.
So maybe Christy knows that then, because here's my thing. What I was ramping up, I don't know shit about wrestling.
Yeah.
I do know that in real wrestling, though, I assume, like, you're matched up by weight class.
Yeah.
So I remember when I first saw this, like, hey, I'm a feminist. I'm totally, sisters doing it for themselves. Wrestle all day long if you want to, ladies. My assumption is that they didn't have lady wrestlers on teams with dudes because nobody would match up weight class wise.
Maybe Screech would, but like,
right, but it's
wrestling.
Like, he's not gonna be a wrestler.
Yeah,
but it's not
true.
Like Christy, if you match Christy up with Slater, she's gonna lose, not because she lacks skill, but because that dude's like twice as heavy as she is.
So you're definitely pro women being able to wrestle against the men. You just think it should be fat girls.
Absolutely.
Right.
100%.
I got it.
Yes.
Now I get your brand of feminism. I understand that. You want equal rights only for fat girls.
Yes. I think that is fair.
That makes a lot of sense.
So
and then Monty Hoffman has a great joke. I thought it was actually a little risque for Saved by the Bell. He goes, if you want to wrestle girls, date them.
Yes. He does say that.
That's nice.
Which is risque and also has a little bit of a tinge of date rape to it.
It does.
A little date rapey.
It does, because, why are they wrestling?
Why?
Rolling around, maybe, but
wrestling is a little forceful.
Both sides are not on the same page
in
a wrestle.
Yes.
That's true. That's a strong point.
Wrestling has a winner and a loser.
I hadn't thought about that. I was so aroused by the joke, I didn't consider.
Right. Of course. I'll forgive you because when you first hear it, you're like, hey, and then.
Yeah.
When it sinks
then
in,
it
you're
sinks
like,
in.
Oh, it's a little rapey.
I just endorsed the date rapey joke. And I didn't want to.
Yeah, but that's before, now that we've talked it out.
No, yeah, it didn't. Like just didn't occur to me.
Yeah. You've grown from the experience.
I think I've
grown,
yeah.
Where you stand now.
I do. I still like the joke. I love it. I like it more.
Love it. So she demonstrates, she's like, let me show you what I can do. Totally pins a guy.
Wait, that not yet.
Doesn't she?
No, she pins him like way later. She doesn't get the audition first.
The audition.
Yeah, I keep calling it an audition.
Yeah, because you're an
actor. Oh, it's so ridiculous. No, but,
I thought she did.
No,
I thought she's
way
like,
later.
I'm just as good.
After the protest, she gets the
you're right.
The
she
tryout.
Tries to. She tries to be like, let me show you
still
how good I am. And
scene
they're like, no.
First, before it ends, remember, then she goes up to Zach Morris. And then all of a sudden, after he didn't get the concept of a female wrestler, then he's like, he literally says, I'm Zach Morris, and I'll help you out.
You're 100% right.
He again
right.
says his name, and then brings him to everybody.
You're 100% right.
At the restaurant. What's the restaurant called again?
The Max.
Oh, the Max.
The restaurant.
Right.
I don't think
diner.
I've ever heard anybody call it a restaurant.
Yeah.
What's that fine dining establishment called again? Oh, it's the Max.
The word restaurant implied fine dining, but okay. Sure.
You're totally right, though. Is that he, so 5 minutes earlier, he's like, oh, lady wrestler, whatever, loser. And then 5 minutes later is like, oh, I'm going to spearhead the campaign to get you on this
team. And they think they're going to get Belding on board. And he walks in laughing hysterically.
Yes, that's the next scene, is they walk into the offices.
Oh, it's not the Max, right?
They walk
right
into the studio of KTY Tiger Radio, where Jesse is there about to do her show. And then... yeah, they come in and they're like, hey, what are we going to do about this? You're the resident feminist. How are we going to fight for this lady's rights to get on the wrestling team? And that's when they say, well, let's take it to Mr. Belding. He's like a real understanding, cool dude.
Mm-hmm.
He'll totally help us out.
Walks in laughing hysterically.
Laughing his ass off.
Why is he laughing? Someone just told me that there's going to be there's a girl trying to try out for the wrestling team. So, I mean, really, we're setting up a great dramatic tension now.
Plus,
because now he's enemy of the state.
Oh, completely. Oh, 100%.
Big
but
time. He's Gene Hackman.
How not professional. Like, you still, you're going to walk in, you know there's going to be students there.
Yeah.
Like, you can't clown on another student
openly.
Well, he
was prepping his radio show. He cared more about his content than the next hour.
But you're adding to my point. Not only does he come in laughing in front of other students at another student, but was going to do a show, was going to talk on the radio about how
not
lame
cool.
another student is.
Not cool to do that.
You arguably would get fired.
Yeah,
you,
I mean,
imagine the principal.
But I mean,
at
who's
school.
Ever gonna stand up to Mr. Belding? He was the king of that crew.
Yeah, well, I can't figure this out even with all these episodes. Like, if he answers to the school board,
he answers to nobody. He's Mr. Belding.
Look,
he had
you're letting
had
your personal friendship
power.
Cloud your
no,
judgment.
No, he's the man and a half, man. He had a no, despotic
he
power
has to
that's
answer
never
to
been
a
paralleled.
School board. So imagine your high school
yeah.
has a radio station. That's already weird enough. But imagine
my high
it
school
does.
Did have a radio station.
It did.
I had a radio show at it.
Okay, I've gotten emails from a handful of people who were like, I also had one.
Yeah.
Okay. But imagine.
KBEV.
Where did you grow up?
Beverly Hills High School.
That's right.
I was sort
We've
of the,
had this
I was sort
discussion.
Of the David Silver of my school.
Right.
Embarrassingly, because I wanted to be Brandon Walsh or Luke Perry.
Wait, and you were in high school during 90210
times.
During
90210, yeah.
So you're like living 90210.
I was living the dream. Yeah, it was
wow.
unbelievable. People would pull up in front of the school and say, excuse me, where's West Beverly? And I'd be like, there is no West Beverly. This is the school you're looking for.
That's amazing.
I would throw rocks at their car.
No, but no shit. Like, you went
yeah.
to
oh, yeah.
Beverly Hills 90210 in life.
But it was in 90212, actually. The whole thing is lies. The show really changed the facts quite a bit. 90210 is the richer zip code in Beverly Hills.
But there's no high school.
I grew up
that
in
zip.
South Central Beverly Hills.
That's right. That's right.
I told you
We've
this
talked
before.
About this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Literally just a normal lower middle class house, but it was within this city of riches, and it was weird, you know?
So is there not a high school in the 90210 zip
there's
code?
There's not. No, there's just one high school in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you went to it, and you were
yeah, I was
a
regular
DJ on the school radio station.
I was, and I was a kid. Mine was more of a talk show, but we played some songs here and there.
Right.
But it was a comedy talk show. But I would...
Well, let me ask you this, though. Yeah. Who listened? Because were you doing it during school hours?
No. No, after school. And it would air on the TV station that aired citywide.
Okay.
And it would air on TV station. You'd just have a screen where you could write whatever you wanted. And then it would just be audio.
Okay.
And so people that would tune in, like a lot of students, a lot of parents and things would tune in. My show was pretty risque.
Right.
It was pretty free. We were allowed to do whatever we wanted, really. It was pretty great. We were making crack jokes and things
right.
of this nature.
But never – what trips me up about things like Save the Bell and 90210 is that whenever they do have a school radio station, it's always portrayed as airing during school hours. And so
right,
my thing is like
right.
everyone's in class. They can't listen to the radio.
That's true. I think maybe there'd be a lunchtime show. During lunch you could do
right.
a show.
Right.
I think there was a lunch show maybe.
Okay. But even still, at your high school, with your high school radio station,
yeah.
if your principal were
yeah.
to get on
yeah.
and be like, oh, I got a doozy. I'm just going to clown on a student for the entirety of my radio
no,
show.
It wouldn't fly.
No, of course it wouldn't.
That would not fly.
Yes. So
yeah,
everything about
point.
That's ridiculous.
That's a strong point. That's a strong
yes,
point.
Thank
for sure.
you. That's what this show exists for, to really point out the logical inaccuracies in Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. But then they hit you the next moment with... Kelly Kapowski at the Max working there looking
okay,
unreal.
Calm your boner down
looking
for a second.
Unfucking real.
Calm it down just for
oh,
a second.
Oh, it brought back memories.
I know it did. But listen, you skipped a little bit.
Or I wanted to.
Okay.
I really wanted to.
Hold on.
Okay.
Because when Belding comes in and he's laughing, and then they're like, what? You know, we're going to have to leave it to Jessie instead. Jessie gets on her show. She's
oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm going to take, I'm going to use the power of the airwaves.
Oh, yeah.
She gets on her show. She talks a hard game. Like, she's like, yo, Belding's a sexist pig. The coach is a sexist pig.
Yeah.
Straight up calls.
Names two big enemies.
Right. And
two
calls,
most hated people to base it.
Yes. Calls out both of these adults.
Yeah.
Calls them sexist pigs. Says they suck. Whatever. Now.
She was not afraid of Belding at all.
Not at all.
No.
But the scene you're talking about, yes, we're back at the Max. Yes, Kelly is working there. But the important thing is everyone is gathered around a radio like it's the goddamn 1920s.
It's true, yeah.
Like a fireside it's chat.
The president's
is
fireside chat. It's
like,
true.
Look,
and then Spano, during her rant, right, there's a couple little jokes and little laughs in the speech.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, her big laugh, she goes, they're such pigs. What do they make sounds like this? And then she just plays a sound effect of an oinking
yes.
pig, and it gets the most uproarious laughter
oh,
from the
course.
Laugh track.
Oh, yeah.
I
yeah.
mean, people just really apparently did not see that oink coming.
yeah.
They were really pleased.
They were not. They couldn't deal with the Foley artist who brought,
they could not
brought
deal with
their
that.
A-game with
yeah.
that oinking noise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. And so does everybody at the Max, because everyone is gathered around the table listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's the 90s, and I know it's pre-internet. I get that, but I listen to the radio, and then the fervent, like, oh my God, turn on the radio. We have to hear the radio. Everyone's losing their shit.
Yeah, it's true.
And it does, it's like a call to arms for the girls at Bayside, because the next scene is everyone protesting at the gym.
So we're just going to skip over how amazing Kelly Kapowski looked then? I don't even get to talk about it when we hit that scene?
Go ahead. I can't add anything to it.
Well, you don't find her objectively attractive?
She's
tell you
gorgeous.
Objectively Elvis is a good-looking man.
Of course. She's gorgeous. That's not
you never had girl dreams about Kelly Kapowski?
I did not have girl dreams
ever?
About her. I swear I didn't.
Oh, she just doesn't get better.
See, when she is great. I had...
When she joined 90210 to combine those storylines...
Oh, my God.
In our
did
podcast
you lose
here,
your mind?
I lost my fucking mind.
Yeah.
Oh, I
because
lost
was it kind of like she was in your world now?
She entered my world. I felt as though she started attending my school. I would look for her in the halls.
Yeah.
I mean, she...
Oh,
the
and
halls
then you had to
medicine.
Be disappointed. See, that was my thing, is when I was watching this, I would just get... I got mad that, like, no dudes at my school look like Zach. I mean, I guess maybe you went to school in Beverly Hills. I suppose there's, like, a lot of hot ladies.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of hot ladies, and then it was just surreal. It's like I'm just like a regular kid with like a regular background going to school, but then like when the school ends and parents are in front with their cars to pick people up, you'd see like snakeskin boots
right.
sticking out of one of the SUV windows, and it's Rod Stewart there
to pick
up his kid.
I was about to say, a friend of mine grew up in Hollywood and went to school in her high school, Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, nice.
The girl who played Six on Blossom. She grew up with a handful of famous people in her actual
class. I had a little
bit of a
crush on Six, to a
degree. What famous people went to your high school? Did you have any in your classes?
We didn't have a lot of huge... In the history of my high school, a lot of famous people. Like
right, but nobody
Richard Dreyfuss
were?
And Alicia Silverstone and Angelina Jolie and Lenny Kravitz and things. But when I was there, I think Angelina Jolie was supposedly there 1 year at the Continuation School for Troubled Children.
Sure,
when I was there. She was cutting back then, you know.
Right.
And...
Wait, who... Rod Stewart... So was Rod Stewart's daughter in your school?
I guess so, yeah. And then... Who else? There was like we didn't have any huge. There was like Jermaine Jackson Jr. went to the
school. Your Majesty?
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Now it's his name.
Well, he
Your
has
Majesty?
No. He has. I mean, he has more than one kid, but one of his sons' name is Your Majesty.
No, this one was Jermaine Jackson Jr. His real name is Your Majesty. His real name.
I swear to God.
Birth certificate.
I haven't personally seen a copy of his birth certificate, but like, I've seen
we
his kids
been more
listed.
Into that birth certificate than the Manning Obamas. I want to see Your Majesty's
Your Majesty
birth
Jackson.
That's
yes.
unbelievable.
Yes.
Your Majesty.
Your Majesty. And a dude.
Horrible.
I almost see it being a girl's name.
Yeah, totally.
But a guy's name.
Yeah. Is Jamiroquai a Jermaine Jackson child? I'd like to know if Jamiroquai.
You're acting like Jamiroquai is a person.
Jamiroquai is a person?
It's not a person, it's a band.
Really? The lead singer is not named Jamiroquai?
The lead singer is JK.
Jamiroquai Quali. It's not?
Jamiroquai, as far as I know, is not a human being's name.
Well, you only have,
until you have a son or daughter and you name them Jamiroquai.
I mean, if that's true, honestly, that's like shocking my worldview a little bit.
That it's a band's
I can't
band.
Believe that. I would be forced to ask, like, to the cosmos, Jamiroquai. I, like, have to know.
Why would you do this
why
to me?
Why would you do this to me? Yeah. I'm stunned. I'm stunned about
that. I actually feel kind of bad.
What you're saying is virtual insanity to me. That's how ridiculous.
I'll tell you this, too. I've seen Jamiroquai live.
Really?
I still listen to Jamiroquai albums.
Did he have, like, treadmills on stage?
He did not.
Oh, come on.
I saw them at the International Ballroom in Atlanta, which was called the International Bathroom because it was just a big, giant cement room.
Oh, nice.
It wasn't the greatest venue, but I went with my friend Jeremy that I mentioned earlier. We went to see them.
All these Jer names.
Jeremy.
Jeremy and Jer Majesty going to see Jamiroquai.
That's right. Jeremy was one of my best. He still is one of my good friends. But, yeah, we were best friends from, like, sixth grade on. We went to see them. Yeah. I'm into music. I'm into all kinds of music, including Jamiroquai, even in this day and age.
And the guy's name is JK. What does
his
the J stand for, do you know?
It's like J-A-Y-K-A-Y.
Well, that's not his born name either.
I'm sure that isn't.
I really wish his name was Jamiroquai, the lead singer of Jamiroquai.
You know what? Start a petition. Get him to legally change it.
I will start a petition for that in the mid-90s.
You have a problem with people's names.
Yeah.
You just need to accept them for what they are.
I don't know. I don't think I do.
But if you do whatever you need to do to get Idris Elba to go on a date with me.
That became my whole stand-up routine was just about people's names. Like, really? Really? Someone's name is Mark Paul Gosselaar?
Totally.
Hey, I'm Grosselaar'd out by that name. But if that was my whole act, was just the worst
like,
cheesy name puns.
Jamiroquai,
yeah. Yeah, Rod Stewart. Rod, stew over choosing another name for a while before you settle on that one. And then have a drummer on stage and rim shots. I drop the mic and just peace out. My name's Glebe, for real, late. And just, you know.
I think you just wrote a new 10 minutes.
A new character, at least. Yeah. He
the
hates
name
people's
guy.
Names.
He just hates anyone's name.
Yeah. April
like
Richardson? Why not? Why not May Richardson? Why not?
It's a good point.
Why not
though.
June Richardson? Those are names too.
Those are all good points.
Thank you so much.
I'm not. My name sucks. So
no,
that's
what do you
not.
Mean? It's very
so uncreative. I'm like, Mom, you reached for the nearest calendar
no, the two
when
work
naming
together.
Your only
the two
born.
Work together well. April Richardson rolls nicely.
Does it?
Oh yeah.
Oh, well, that's
sounds
good.
Almost like a candy. I actually like your name.
Oh, thank
I'm
you.
I'm critical of names. We've established
yeah, but
this.
Yes, that's your thing.
No, April Richardson, I think, is a good name.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'll keep yeah. it then.
AP freaks me out a little bit.
That's only because it's a nickname. All my friends call me that. AP or Apes. Some variation of
yeah,
those.
But like,
Ape.
So
when, but I had, when I signed up for
so
Twitter,
you're marketing
everything
yourself
was taken.
Online, you're like, let me just go for an inside joke instead of something
no.
people would ever be able to guess.
How about, what if it's like this, Ben? What if it's like, I want everyone to feel like they're my friend?
Oh, that's cute. That's cute.
I want everyone to feel like they can call me by my nickname.
But then also your Instagram is different than your Twitter. Like I recently posted a picture of us on my Instagram.
Yeah.
And I put at AP. People were mad leaving comments. It's not at AP. It's at April Rich.
They were furious.
I'm like, all right. How do I know? I'm not a, I don't have
look,
the research staff.
All of that is down to when I signed up for Twitter, every variation of April, April Richardson, April Marie, anything I would have used is already taken. That's
you could add a word to it. April Richardson.
Then that's long
fun.
As shit.
It is
look,
long.
I deal in a game of retweets.
What about
precious,
App Rich? Was App Rich taken?
I don't know. I'll have to go see. But you have precious space. It's easier to RT AP, followed up with
that's
some of
true.
My gems,
okay, all right.
than to RT, you know, whatever, April Richardson comedy funny times.
Well, I hate when comics put comedy in the name. That's no good.
Yeah.
Seems hacky to me.
Well, sometimes I get that you have to do it. If your name's like Bob Smith.
I get it, but don't put comedy. Put a more creative word in there.
Like Jamiroquai.
Yeah. Jamiroquai, his Twitter handle's not at Jamiroquai Music.
Right.
At Jamiroquai Sings, you know, it's...
sings!
At Jamiroquai Sings. At Jamiroquai
well,
Sings
I can
on
only assume, I can only assume they got to Twitter before the other 8 million Jamiroquais in the world signed up
don't
and took
underestimate
their username.
The amount of Jamiroquais.
It's one. There's one.
No, there's... I guarantee,
there's one.
Even if his name is not Jamiroquai, there's a bunch of black children
named,
who are named Jamiroquai. Who
after, do you think they're named after the band?
I mean, probably... Subconsciously,
yeah.
at least.
Yes. Because they were conceived during a Jamiroquai song?
They noticed at a gym on a treadmill.
Oh, that's true.
And it brought back memories.
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know. Let's keep talking about the episode.
Yeah. 20-minute Jamiroquai tangent. Yeah.
This is a Jamiroquai podcast, right?
Yes.
This is Go Jamiroquai?
Yes,
the name of the...
it's just solely made. We're wearing giant fur hats right now.
Yeah, we are.
We're walking on treadmills.
You better believe it.
It's all Jamiroquai all the
yeah,
time here.
Yeah, very slowly
here.
So we're not out of breath.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
So then after
where
the whole...
Where were we?
Okay, so then...
Protest.
Protest. So there's a big protest at the gym now.
At the gym.
Picket signs already made up.
Picket
like, beautiful.
Signs. It's maybe 10 girls... Maybe
easy.
15.
A couple guys in there too, no?
I would assume.
All girls?
My point is, I would assume there are more girls that go to Bayside, so it seems like not every girl on campus is on board with this.
True.
Not every girl is no. fighting for feminist ideals.
I know. I was sort of surprised Kelly Kapowski was on board, to be honest.
I know. But I feel like she just kind of does what Jesse says.
Yeah, she does whatever. She's a shell of a woman.
Yeah.
But she's gorgeous.
Look, all she concentrates on is her appearance.
Yeah. I just want to rub my young self on her. No. Luck. I want luck to rub
for,
off.
Yes. Dude, luck. Don't even. Rub. Are you? Almost every guy guess I've had is like, oh, I've completely jerked off to Kelly.
And I can't even remember for sure if I have, but I'm sure.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure
I don't
you
know.
Did.
Maybe in Saved by the Bell days, I was a little bit pre-jerk off or like.
Wait, are you younger or older than me?
1 year older. I'm 35.
Okay.
So I don't know.
So that's jerk off times.
In 91, I was 13. I guess that's jerk off times.
That's prime jerk off. That's like when you're
yeah,
doing nothing
yeah.
but jerking off
that's
times.
True. But I think I didn't ever jerk off just looking at, like, someone in, like, a clothed sitcom. I think maybe I used my imagination. Did I use her?
Well, of course.
I probably used her
she triggers...
imagination-wise. I
yeah.
probably did.
Yeah.
I probably did. But, I mean, she still, I saw her now again. I'm like, it brought everything
she's
back.
She's stunning.
But is it weird now? Is it weird to be attracted as an adult now to somebody in high school?
That's...
Even, but even if you were attracted to them then? Because you're just
Jiffy
you're
had
just
that when Jiffy was
memories.
On. He had that question. He was like, "Am I a perv because now I'm of a I'm an
yeah.
adult? She's a teen, and I still think she's hot."
But your crush doesn't go away.
Yeah, I don't think you are a perv.
I think mentally, you go back to where you were.
Yeah, and you guys are both adults now, so I feel like even in the back of your mind, you know she's an adult, so you know it's not creepy because you're like
right. But it brings up so many questions. What if Tiffany Amber Thiessen had a child? And then that child is now high school age and looks exactly like
whoa.
Kelly Kapowski in her hay. Like exactly.
That's.
What do you do then?
Oh, I don't. That's
you're
weird.
You're going to see her and it's going to make you think Kelly Kapowski Bayside. You're gonna be attracted sexually.
Yeah, but you gotta. She's gotta be 18, dog. Now
what
that you're an adult,
what if she looks 18 and she's 16 and a half?
Nope.
You can't be attracted without doing anything about it.
I mean, I guess you can, but don't feel good about yourself.
Well, no, I'm not gonna like write an essay about my feelings and be like, I'm so proud of my feelings developing for the young Tiffany Amber Thiessen Jr.
That could get you put in jail, Junior Tiffany Amber Thiessen Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think...
It's Tiffany Amber Thiessen, Your Majesty?
The second. No, I mean...
It's a hard question, though.
You can't control who you're attracted to.
No.
But I feel like in that situation, it's a thing where you're like, maybe keep it to yourself. Maybe don't...
Don't say it on podcasts.
Got it. Make a big deal out of it.
I'll never do that.
Wait until she's 18.
Yeah.
Then
I'll be in my mid-40s.
Then talk about it openly.
Good.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this day.
Yes.
Stand outside of her birthday party.
Yes.
In a trench coat.
Have like
I've
that.
Been waiting
Remember
for this
when
day.
You had a countdown for Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen?
Yes. That was creepy. Yeah. Especially because they were so unattractive.
And they still look less
People
than
that
18.
Want to make love to pond ducks.
Yeah. Well, their attractiveness, that's neither here nor there. They just look young to me. So even now, they still look like they're under 18.
You know, to me, more of the issue is just how creepy looking they are.
Yeah, because they're just like too skinny.
They just look absurd. Like their face, they look like they're like a deflating inflatable doll.
Yeah,
like, they don't look. They've never looked ever since they were like 4 years old. They've never been cute in the least bit. They just looked. They went weird, man.
Yeah,
they went weird.
They're richer than we'll ever be in our entire lives.
Well, that's a fact.
So
they don't need to look good.
Why don't they buy new faces?
That's another good question.
God.
Oh,
predict.
And then
this
so,
is going
so then,
down a road.
Yeah, well, it is. So then the protest ends.
So we're talking about feminism. After we're talking about how ugly two famous ladies are.
Yes, exactly.
Good call. Okay.
And then the coach, Monty Hoffman, is like, all right, you get your tryout right now.
Yes.
And then he gets a tryout, and then she pins the guy immediately, and she's amazing. He's like, oh, forget all of my misgivings. You're on the team. Very quickly comes on board.
Exactly. He goes, get Rodriguez in here. She pins Rodriguez in 2 seconds. And like we've talked about before, he does look like he's not in her weight class. It looks like something that would be kind of impossible to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that I'm clowning on Christy. She seems lovely and strong and great.
No.
But he seems out of her weight class, but she pins him immediately, and you're right, and the coach is like, you're totally on the team right now.
Totally on the team.
And then,
all is forgiven in that respect.
Totally.
And
then Jesse even
says,
we sisters have to stick together.
Right.
Because Christy's like, thank you so much.
I thought I felt like a little lesbian vibe at that moment, too. Did you notice? I thought it was going to go that way for a second.
Of course you did.
I thought for a second. Look, I thought it was going to be
We're talking
shift.
About the feminist of the show.
Yeah, aren't feminists sometimes lesbians?
Right, but their lesbianism is not there for you to fantasize about.
I don't say I was fantasizing about it. I was repulsed by the idea.
Oh!
But I'm just saying
like,
I felt,
that's
felt there was a tinge.
Sure.
I'm
no, I think
I
it was a rare moment.
How attracted to the idea I was.
I think it was a rare moment of solidarity.
Okay.
From Jesse, who is a fair-weather feminist.
Yeah.
As we will find out later.
Yeah, and then Christy runs over to Zach Morris and goes, how can I thank you for this? And he goes, oh, I'll think of something.
Right.
That was kind of rapey.
That is kind of rapey.
It was kind of rapey.
And he...
But also still a good line.
Yeah.
You know?
Sexy in the right... Rapey in the wrong context, sexy in the right context.
Like the moment you've done something nice for a girl, and if she feels very validated as a person, that's when you want to say, well, you're going to suck my dick for this.
Yeah.
that's the moment.
All I was going on record is, you're putting words in Zach's mouth.
No. Oh, you almost think of something.
Say, you
got
to S my D for this.
Well, you don't think that's what he was implying?
You don't think she doesn't want to just give it up?
But then why does he got to say it so intense, you know?
Okay, well, so Jesse's like, hey, we sisters got to stick together. And they're like, okay, thanks. So the next scene is they are at the Max celebrating. They're all sitting at a table. They're all like, Christy, you're the best. Good job. Like, awesome.
Yeah.
And then that's when she starts talking to Slater as if he is super famous, like a famous athlete, because he goes...
This is pre-radio Mario Lopez, so he's not that famous yet.
He's not that famous. Yeah. Also...
Pre-Access Hollywood.
Yeah, any hosting gigs that he now has.
Yeah.
But she goes... Because he's like, how did you pin that guy so fast? And she's like, I used the move that you used against, you know, so-and-so at the Valley meet. And he's like... What? You watch me? And she's like, yeah, I know all your moves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what? Of course he's flat. Anyone would go, wow, that's flattering.
Of course.
But.
I've never had anyone quote me back to me before. It was the physical version of that When Harry Met Sally scene with Bruno Kirby.
Yeah. So, of course you're going to be like, oh my God, awesome.
Yeah.
But we're led to believe that she just showed up. So she presumably just transferred or something.
No, but she studied him from afar.
Yeah, yeah. Like, how, like, she's, it sounded like she had been going to years of wrestling matches. Because, again, he's not famous. He's not on TV. These are not things that you can just turn on the TV and watch,
right, yeah,
a Bayside wrestling match. So she's physically gone to numerous wrestling matches over the years. Well,
she's dreamed this dream, you know what I mean?
She memorized Slater's moves.
Yeah. And there was, they didn't even have, like, a good DVR system or...
No!
There weren't good video cameras. I mean, she
no!
Had it was just brain in her, it burned in her brain.
Yeah, she's just doing the legwork of going to all these matches. And so
yeah,
he is flattered, but I, in a way, I'd be like, wait a minute, that's pretty weird. Like,
no,
how have you done all this?
When you're a public athlete, you expect,
how
you
is
expect
he a public...
fans to know your work. I mean, why else do you do it? For your own satisfaction? No, you do it for accolades.
For the glory.
For the glory of love.
Or in the words of Lady Gaga, you do it for the applause.
Yeah.
Applause, applause.
Yeah, you do. You do.
Well, he's eating it up, and that's when Jesse is kind of giving her the stink eye, and it's kind of like, wait a minute, yo, bitch, that's my man.
Yeah, and then he kept saying, like, relax, mama. I never got, why does he always call Jesse mama, always?
Yeah, because we talk about
it's
this
so
too, because
it's
a thing no teenagers would ever do.
Ever say that.
Never.
I don't care if you're, like, half Italian, half Armenian, half Argentinian, whatever the hell AC Slater was.
He has three halves?
Mama. Yeah, what was he? What was his ethnic background?
He's Latino.
Oh, I didn't even get any of them. Well,
yeah.
Argentinian, sort of.
Yeah, but he calls
Is
her
he
mama
Latino,
constantly.
Really?
That, like, no teenager.
Slater,
a
very Latino name. It's like the whitest.
Yeah, but his mom is Latino.
Oh, really?
Don't you remember in the college years when there's that one episode where
I never
he...
watched the college year. I hate it. I watched one episode and I'm
yeah,
like, this
I didn't
is,
like it.
The magic's gone.
Trust me, I didn't like it either, but I still, like, watched it anyway.
I did not watch it.
But there's one episode where he protests for the dishwashers that work at their college because he's
oh,
like,
really?
I'm Latino also.
It was the first time they ever mentioned his
yeah,
ethnic background.
Like, yeah, totally.
In like 12 years of shows.
Well, they do have an episode
and
where they...
And it's to support dishwashing.
Right.
What stereotypical
so like, yeah,
way to... He's at a college and the big issue is like, let's support the dishwashers union.
Yeah.
Very racist.
Yeah.
It's racist.
But there is an episode, I forget which one, off the dome, but it's one where they're tricking... Oh, it's when his girlfriend comes... It's when they both ask Slater and... I haven't even done this one yet, but they both ask this girl to a dance, and they're fighting over her. And so Slater goes to the movies with her, and Zach hires a lady to fake like he's Slater's mom and comes and is like, Slater, I'm your mom. It's my birthday. And she's a Latino lady. So that's why I think...
Wouldn't Slater recognize his own mom?
Well, that's the joke is that he's trying to be like, that's not my mom. What are you talking about? And the girl's like, of course it is. Anyway, that's a whole nother episode.
Who would pretend to be your mom? Especially a Latino lady, Slater, run with her.
Yeah. Like, so that's what makes me think, like, oh, he's like, they know he's
She walk
Latino.
In, she's like, por favor, hace Slater.
No, it was...
tú eres mi... yo soy tu mamá. Por favor, mi piñata no funciona bueno.
Your Spanish is astounding.
Gracias.
No, she's not speaking Spanish, but I think she does have an accent.
Really?
Yeah.
AC Slater, can't you tell I'm your mother?
Yeah. Okay. That's like Speedy Gonzalez.
Yeah. I'm just wondering how racist they went with the accent. How racist did they go with the
I'm
accent?
I'm gonna get hate mail for this, Ed, buddy.
Oh, come on.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on.
All right.
So, that's when
I don't think you have to worry about it.
Christy is like, let's go practice.
Unlikely Latinos listen to this podcast. Do you think they do?
Of course.
Oh, okay. All right.
Look, my fan base is like a United Colors Benetton ad.
Is that right?
Everyone is on board with what I'm doing.
Okay, good.
And everyone knows that just because I'd like to date blonde dudes, it doesn't mean I'm a racist.
No, it doesn't.
Thank you.
No, and by the way, I would like people to know I'm not a racist either. I was just joking about all of these jokes.
Okay.
I make fun of all...
Sure.
I made Hitler jokes,
sure,
and I'm Jewish. It's all fair game. That's the exact same Elvis picture,
Hitler's,
by the way.
Look, I'll take Hitler down, all right? I'm not afraid.
No, I made, like, pro-Aryan race jokes. I was saying,
oh, right,
like,
okay,
you. I don't know if I would kill Hitler because... It would affect your dating pool.
That's true. And
even
that's
though my family
of,
was killed by him. So I'm just saying.
That's out of consideration for me. That's
yeah,
just because you're a good friend.
I'm a good friend.
Okay,
I'm
so.
A great friend of yours.
That's when Christy goes, let's go practice. Like, mm-hmm. Slater's like, I'll go show you some moves. Jesse's like, what? This kind of
yeah,
sucks.
Yeah.
So then the next scene is Zach going into the girls' locker room with his huge radio broadcasting pack. Right.
Yeah, with the, I mean, it's the biggest,
it's
like
huge.
The first video camera my family had.
Right.
All of our home videos was literally all you hear audio wise, even we're at the beach, wherever, is my dad saying, is it recording? Is it rolling? Is it on? Is it on? Check if it's on. Ben, Ron, check if it's recording. Is it on? The whole video for like an hour.
Yeah. And you're like, Dad,
I said it's rolling an hour ago. Please.
Like, what? Make sure it's rolling. Memories. Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst.
Well, so he's recording from the girls' locker room. He says, even says, I'm broadcasting live from the girls' locker room.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
it's a strong move.
Immediate suspension, if not expulsion.
Yeah.
Like, you're in the girls' locker room, and you're totally saying it. Yeah. Like, the principal, any teachers, anyone would come in.
Well, the principal does come in.
Well, that's the thing. So he's talking, broadcasting from the thing. Now, Belding comes in.
Yeah.
He has his hand, he's carrying a radio in one hand, has his other hand over his eyes.
No, he's not carrying a radio.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, he is?
A tiny radio, because that's how he's like, Morris, yeah, I know you're in here.
But isn't he reaching around with one hand, trying to find the person? So he has to have one hand free. He had a hand free.
I think it was the hand with the radio in it.
He was grabbing.
Oh, well, the point is he's covering, he comes in.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I heard you're in here.
Yeah.
There's not a female teacher that can
come. Just, and his strategy is, I'm going to cover my eyes so it's not to offend the girls in the locker room, but I will grab randomly at the air.
Yes.
Trying to find Zach Morris. Yes. Then he grabs a girl.
Yes.
Forcibly and goes, I gotcha, Zach. And then opens his eyes and, oh, to
it's
his chagrin,
a
it's a girl in a towel.
It's a girl in a towel who screams.
And then he
right
removes
then,
the towel and makes love to her right there.
Oh, makes love. Oh, God.
It was love.
But
I think it was love.
He would immediately have been fired. Grown man in a girl's locker room grabs a girl student in a towel. You're gone, buddy. You're in jail.
True.
You're probably in jail when that girl's parents find out.
What if he's
he
explains
went
to
a room
the judge?
That exclusively exists for
what,
teenage
what if
girls
he explains
to get
to the
undressed
judge?
In.
I was just aggressively trying to get another male out of there by grabbing at the air. What if he says that?
That doesn't hold up in court at all.
All right, but I think it's
because
a decent.
You just missed my
point. At least it's a good moral argument.
If we're in court, I go, Mr. Belding.
Yeah.
You do know that you walked into an area exclusively designated for teenage girls.
With my eyes closed.
To
with
disrobe
my eyes closed. With my eyes closed, Your Honor.
But you had your hand out, groping, grabbing for...
How else, if my eyes are closed, how else am I supposed to know if it's a man or woman unless I feel their private areas?
Sir, why not assign a female teacher to go do that?
Listen, Mrs. Bliss was unavailable.
I'm sorry, Mr. Belding, am I to believe that there is only one female teacher in your entire school?
We were not a very progressive
school.
What
about Mrs. Culpepper?
Nope.
What about Miss Simpson, the deaf teacher?
They were having lunch. They were having lunch at a very loud place, and the deaf teacher didn't care how loud it was.
it was very peaceful
to her there.
You know what, sir? I have to say, you're free to go. The charges are removed.
Thank you so much. I was about to plead the fifth, so I'm glad that worked out.
You gave such convincing testimony now I'm on board.
The deaf argument really put it over the edge, huh?
Okay, so so the next scene is Christy and Slater practicing in the gym, doing wrestling moves.
Oh,
and it really does just look like they're hugging up on each other.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really suspect.
Well, at first it was legit, but then the next move, of course, which happens to be when Jesse walks in and oversees it, classic sitcom misunderstanding, suddenly they're lingering. Suddenly she's like, ooh, you're strong. You're real strong.
Yeah. And she's like, hold me tighter.
Hold me tighter.
And he's like,
okay. Something, I mean, I guess you could say that in wrestling context, but...
Right. I think it's suspect. And I don't blame any girlfriend who walks by that for going, what? That's weird.
Well, if she should have investigated more, Jesse Spano, instead of storming off screaming like she did, she should have walked in and been like, let's see if you got a boner right now. And if there's no boner, you shouldn't be mad. If there's a boner, then you've proven your point.
Okay.
Boner check.
So, a boner check. Here's my thing, though. Teenage guys get boners at any given Sunday. Fucking any time of the day.
Yeah.
So that might not even prove a point.
Well, but if you're behind a girl who's saying hold you tight, it's got to be strictly business. If it's not, you got to say, let's take a little break because I love Jesse.
Yeah, but I
think boner check's still effective there.
Yes and no, because sometimes you get boner. You're a guy. You should be on it. I mean, don't you just get boners? It doesn't even
these
mean,
days.
Like...
During I don't think I read.
Okay, especially as a teenager. As a teenage guy.
As a teenager, yeah, it's a little harder. But unless you're wearing shorts. Wearing shorts would be scary sometimes. Like, it would be scary when you'd be in PE.
Yeah.
When you'd be in physical education, and then there'd be girls in short shorts, and I have little shorts on. That would be scary. Because
and you'd get a boner.
What are you going to do?
But it's like, sometimes it just feel like it's a reflex action. So, your boner check might be, you know how people can cheat lie detector tests?
If you
tests?
Hit me in the knee, my dick pops up.
Right. I mean,
it's literally a reflex action.
I'm just saying, it's sometimes, it's like a guy just sees, it doesn't excuse it, but I'm just saying in this situation, it doesn't necessarily automatically mean he's going to cheat on his girlfriend.
Do girls look for boners like that? Or are girls like, am I turning this guy on? Like, when hooking up, but like in life, if you're walking around? Like,
no, not in life.
You don't look around?
What are you saying? That like if I'm talking to a guy, I look and see
if he
has a boner?
Do you ever look and check? Yeah.
Never have I done that. No. And then if you're hooking, you feel.
Even if you're being particularly sexy, that you've never like, did that work right there? That line I said?
I can't remember a time I ever thought I was being really sexy just then. I should look and see if I left a boner in my wake. I've never thought that. Ever have I thought that. Which maybe could be a reason I haven't hooked up with many dudes.
Fair.
Maybe if I have that mindset.
I think you're probably in the majority there.
Okay.
I was just curious. I'd never asked a woman that question. I was curious to know.
I mean, I've looked at a guy's dick region to see if I can assess the situation, but I've never specifically
done
like a
boner check.
You're
looking for size. But some people are growers, some people are showers.
Right. Right.
So you don't know. Like in the wrestling scene that comes soon, I commented that AC Slater looked like he had no dick.
Right.
It looked like
he's wearing
no
a cup,
dick.
Though.
But a cup's supposed to be big.
Right.
It covers your big dick, so it should be bigger than your dick. It doesn't shrink your dick.
Right.
Cup is not like a magical shrinking cup. It's like a fucking Disneyland magic shop.
We're going tough on Slater and his dick tonight.
You better believe it.
Okay. Anyway, so Jesse walks by. She hears that. She's clearly like they're cheating.
Yeah, she's like air conditioning air conditioning Slater is cheating on me.
Right, so she immediately, I wrote this down because I was like, what a cool feminist. Instead of woman to woman confronting Christy and just being like, look, level with me. Like, is something going on? Just be cool about it. Is something going on? Like, da-da-da. She immediately goes to
the
radio station.
The power of the airwaves again.
Immediately takes it public.
Yeah. And doesn't explain, just says, you know what? I was wrong.
Yeah. And
we should not support female wrestlers.
Yes. And publicly condemns Christy.
Yeah.
So that's way harsh. That's harsh across the board, but if you're an alleged feminist, like, that's way harsh.
And it also just brings up another issue that I always think, like, people always get mad at the person that their partner cheated with, and I feel like that person's not so guilty. You should get mad at your partner.
Oh, that's 100% true. That's, like, such a Jerry Springer, like...
It's ridiculous.
...getting mad at the lady when it's like, well, no, the lady didn't cheat on you.
Right.
She's not in a relationship with you.
She didn't know what the details of your relationship were.
Right.
Maybe you had an open relationship. Maybe you were getting revenge. You don't need to know these things.
It's 100% true. She should have been trashing on Slater, but she doesn't.
Yeah.
She trashes on Christy, says, I take it back. No ladies should be wrestlers.
Yep.
All right, so...
And also, just as a general question, how come none of the dudes wanted to wrestle the girl? They're all like, I don't want to wrestle the girl. I would have been way into it. And not just from like an Andy Kaufman performance art standpoint,
but just
like sexually.
Well, maybe you're more evolved than the average high school guy. And we could talk about it, because this next scene is Zach going on a date with Christy.
Oh, yeah.
And
at the Max.
His manhood is threatened
because one
of the Valley dudes comes in and is like, yo, what's up? I'm going to beat your ass. And first of all, Zach stands up to him to go, get out of here, dude. I'm on a date.
Yep.
And I did make a note of the fact that Zach is like a good 3 inches tall. Like,
easy.
Zach is bigger than this dude.
Yeah, he's half a dick bigger than this guy.
Yeah, yes. Half a dick?
Half a regular sized dick, average dick.
Okay. He's like clearly bigger than this dude. Absolutely could have taken him. But then the guy gets him in a headlock or something.
Yeah, the guy gets him in a headlock.
When Christy comes up and saves the day.
And luckily, she had just been trained on headlock removal moves by AC
Slater.
Moments earlier.
Yeah, so
just
she's
in
got
time
it.
For her to have this move for the scene.
Yes. And so, and she's also significantly smaller than this guy, but still puts him
but
in a headlock.
She's got the moves.
Yeah. So she effectively saves Zach's life.
But while emasculating him in a
exactly,
huge way.
So he can't handle it.
No.
So the combination of that, and then the next day, Christy's like, everybody hates me. Jesse hates me. This really sucks. And then Zach comes in and says, Christy, got to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not working out between us. And I wrote that down because hilariously he says that after a date.
After
one
a
date.
Date.
He's like,
it's just not working out between us. And he delivers the line weird, between us.
Yeah.
Between us. He said it in some weird way.
But also he says it as if they've been in like this long-term relationship. And so then that's when she's like, what, this sucks. Christy storms out of the Max like, I'm quitting the team. I hate everybody.
Very dramatic. She almost on the verge of tears. She's like, you're breaking up with me. Not only am I going to not be able to date you, I'm also quitting the team.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Why? What does it have to do with anything?
Well, because she's like, everybody hates me.
It's like, so, you fought for this your whole life, though.
Yeah.
Rosa Parks didn't get broken up with and say, you know what, I'm leaving the bus. She didn't do that. Separate issues. Got to separate work and pleasure.
That's right.
I mean, come on. What is the... I think Harriet Tubman digging underground there was like, I'm turning around.
It's because this boy doesn't like me anymore.
The dude tagging along with me just said he doesn't like me anymore. Forget the cause.
She really
seemed more boy crazy than wrestling crazy. That's not a good feminist role model in this episode.
Look, and if anybody knows better than me, No one does. You gotta, if you got nothing, no, dude, concentrate on your career.
Yeah, you got to.
You gotta focus on your career.
You got to, yes.
If your personal life is suffering, throw all that into your career, Christy.
That's exactly
Wrestle
right.
harder than you've ever wrestled before.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
But instead, she quits. And then that's when we're the next scene is back in the radio station. And that's when Zach is kind of talking to Jesse, like, man, I'm so bummed. And Jesse is like, basically, like, fuck that girl. She was trying to cheat with Slater. And Zach's like, no, she wasn't, dummy. Like, she's into me.
Right. In, like, six lines, the dramatic tension gets immediately dissipated.
Right.
She's like, no, he likes, she's into the stud of the school. And he's
the
like, what
hunk.
Am I, baloney?
Yes.
Which is a great line. I
she
mean,
goes,
you always want to throw that
Lisa
one out there.
Lisa says that she's dating the school hunk.
What am
and
I, baloney?
Zach says, what am I, a baloney sandwich?
A baloney sandwich. That's
which
right.
I loved that because he was just acknowledging, like, I'm the school hunk. Like, he just says it like, duh. It's
right.
me. I'm the school hunk,
yeah.
dummy.
Yeah. Not
and,
your
and
guy.
Claims that title. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. it's me. Hmm,
your guy might be the school hunk for Latinos.
Yes.
You know, something
racial.
Like that. Yeah.
yeah.
I like to get racial about it.
So that's when Jesse's like, oh my God, I'm a total idiot.
I've been the worst.
Yeah. Now, the next scene is Zach back in the girls' locker room, mm-hmm. where he apparently just chills now on the reg.
He's
just
a,
like, let's go to the girls'
that's
locker
his spot,
room.
Yeah.
That's not allowed.
No. And he like, yeah. And he tries to make amends.
Also, there would be a female gym teacher in, there was always a female gym teacher in my locker room.
I don't know. We did not have dudes. We didn't have male teachers in our locker room.
We totally had like a female gym teacher office in our locker room. There would have been somebody in
she
there.
She might have been like looking a little too close.
Of course. But even still, she's an adult authority figure that would have been like, hey, no guys can be
it's
in here.
Pretty hot, actually.
Okay.
Adult authority figure female
I'm not gonna,
in the
no,
locker.
Don't derail
my
it.
God,
no.
God. I'm
okay.
sorry.
So he comes in to make amends. Of course, the one place where he can talk to her, the girls' locker room.
Yep.
Not like, hey, why don't you go out in the hallway, we'll meet. Or how about, like, over here? No. Makes amends with her inside the girls' locker room. Says, don't quit the team over a jerk like me. And then she's like, you're right.
And they hug.
Yes.
Like, so far, all they've done is hug, like, very
yes.
they sweet embraces.
Sweet embraces. And then he's like, go to the movies, meet tonight. She's like, totally. So the next scene, we're back in the gym.
This is the match.
The match.
And this is the scene where AC Slater has no penis.
Yes, because he's wearing a cup.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't make any sense to me.
Here are some things about this. Did you go to any wrestling matches during high school?
Definitely not.
Me neither.
Yeah, no.
Did you know anyone who did?
No.
No. My guess is the parents of the people maybe went.
Yeah, and you would just see occasionally a kid walk by you in the halls with cauliflower ears, and you're like, weird choice for a sport.
Right.
I really want to just tackle other dudes and fuck my ears up for life.
I'm not, again, as a young redneck into fake wrestling, I'm not judging anyone's choice to be a wrestler. That's fine and great.
I'm judging.
You are, I'm not. But watching this scene, everyone in the school is seemingly here. They're all standing around. No one, there's no bleach, no one is sitting in bleachers. Like, everyone's at face level with the wrestlers.
Yeah.
Who then just, like, go down and wrestle. And everyone is standing over them, yelling in their faces.
It's very,
maybe
it's
a
like
foot.
Gangs in New York. It's
it
like,
is.
Yeah, it's very intense.
That's so perfect. That's exactly what it, they're like
yeah.
a foot away from them, screaming
yeah.
in their faces.
Yeah.
And I have to think like that's not even the principal. Belding is in the middle yelling at them.
Sure.
I just don't think that's how school sports ever really go.
Maybe for unpopular sports, you know, you get
yeah,
a front row seat.
Yeah, but I feel like even the wrestling, it's done. You have
I mean,
bleachers.
You're right.
You
that's
have
true.
Seats.
That's true. I mean, I think that's a good point. I mean, but
I think
it goes back to
for people to get that close to them
I
and yelling at them.
The director of this episode was just real lax with his background artist enforcement. Starting from that first frame, they're stretching too aggressively. He's like, oh, I'll just let it go.
Let it slide until
let
they
these
creep
guys
up.
Do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
He really was not paying attention
That's
to it.
That's right.
His second unit director maybe was like
There's
asleep.
No law and order on that set.
No, I'd be curious to find out if like the second AD or the first AD in this episode like had a heart attack and was in the hospital and they were very distracted.
I love
and
that
not
you
able...
think they even have that those people.
You don't think so?
There's just like one dude
one
holding
guy.
The camera.
It's Belding himself directing the episode.
Yeah, totally. Anyway, so that's weird. Everybody is super close up and yelling at them. Wrestling match happens. Of course she wins. Christy totally
wins. Yeah. Crushes it.
And then that's when, you know, the final scene, like Zach comes out with his mic because he's broadcasting and he's like, congratulations, got to get a post-game interview with you.
Has he been a reporter a lot in the past? He's done
well,
this role?
Just since they found, you know, they found the radio station in the basement, remember?
Oh, is that what happened? No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, they like stumble over it in the basement and like take the, blow the dust off of all the equipment and they're
oh,
like,
wow.
Now we have a radio station.
Nice.
Yeah, so he comes to get the post-game interview and is like, Christy, what's up? And she...
In front of everybody.
In front of everyone.
Yeah.
She
Body slams.
Body slams him and then kisses him.
Like an aggressive, sexy kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah. All kisses of a sudden, very advanced.
On air, in front of everyone.
In private, sweet hugs.
Yeah.
In front of everybody. She was almost.
She's like, less French.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of sex do you think they were going to have that night? Like, I feel like aggressive, like she was going to strap it on.
Well, she's flexible, obviously, and knows moves.
She was going to be the aggressor. She was going to be the dominant sexual force.
Of course.
And Zach was going to have a new experience.
I think so. I think she's going to teach him some shit.
And then
definitely.
The next day he's going to say to her, like, again, I feel as though it's not working between
not
us.
Working out between
and
us.
Let's never speak about this to anybody.
Well, the episode does end with him saying, that's Christy, the winner, and also my date for tonight. And if you have a problem with that, she'll beat you up. So I think that Zach learned a lot about himself, about his masculinity.
Yeah, and his turn-ons.
About gender roles and how to be comfortable if they're not traditional.
Sure.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I think it was a good episode overall. We never see Christy again, though, right?
She's never again.
Gone.
Never again.
So clearly he doesn't like it that much. I mean, how much did he learn?
Well, you know,
everybody
she
takes a swing to a weird side sometimes, but then
look, she, you don't
right
know, though. She could have been like, transferred to another school, gone on her wrestling world to, like, I got to go watch other wrestlers. I've learned what I need to know from Slater. Now let's go watch other high school wrestlers.
Right, she just travels
in other districts. Yes.
That's true.
She's like the Highlander of female wrestlers. There can only be one, Christy Barnes.
That's exactly right.
She walks the earth.
She's like Kane in Kung Fu.
Yes.
I don't even know what that reference means, but I think that's the line from
Pulp
Fiction.
Because I think that he also walks the earth.
Yeah, I think so too, yeah.
Okay, so that was awesome.
It was really, I mean, I missed the show. I forgot how much I liked the
show. I was about
to say,
what's your personal history with the show? You watched it growing up.
Watched it growing up, absolutely. And I even liked the comedic. We didn't mention Screech in this episode. But we did mention him briefly, but I thought he was funny.
This is a pretty Screech-free episode.
Yeah,
for the
a few
most
lines.
Part.
He co-announced with Zach during
sort of.
The match and just said the wrong thing every time.
Right. Well, that's what he does.
That's
Screech.
What he does, yeah.
And he wore a shirt covered in violins.
But he also tries to do stand-up and is not great at it.
Oh, no. I've heard
he
horror stories about that.
He was a guest on my TV show in college. And
was he a jerk to you?
No, he was very nice to me, but he did, instead of saying pussy, he would randomly say, cock. And we did it. It was funny because we did it. I went to UCSD. We did it in the Mirror Quad my freshman year or sophomore year as well. And so the stage we built outside was between the two residence halls. There's like two 8-story buildings.
Right.
And he was getting heckled from like multiple stories of this building down on him. He's like yelling with people that are up in the windows. It was pretty amazing.
But wait, when you were you trying to do like a serious interview with him and he just kept yelling cock?
Well, no, he was doing stand-up first. He wanted to do stand-up first. And I was like, really? I'd rather just do the interview. He's like, I'll do stand-up, then we'll do the interview.
Okay.
And he bombed pretty hard. He was new to it in his defense. But
right.
He just kept, whenever he'd bomb a joke, he'd just go, cock. People are like, shut up. You suck. He's like, cock. And then he sat down for the interview. And I'm still proud of this question to this day, Saved by the Bell theme question. It was on my early highlight reel when I moved down to Hollywood.
Okay.
First question I said to him. Now, Dustin, people know you mainly from Saved by the Bell.
Mm-hmm.
They may not know you're also from Saved by the Bell, the new class, Saved by the Bell, the college years, and Saved by the Bell, Wedding in Las Vegas. And I got a big laugh.
No, and that's awesome.
And then he played along. He goes, and soon, Saved by the Bell, the geriatric years.
Oh,
so
nice.
I gave him a little props.
Well played.
It was well played.
That seems to be probably the last time he really had a sense of humor about it.
Probably so,
because now I think he doesn't.
Then he started making sex tapes, didn't he?
Let's not go down that road.
No. No one should ever watch that.
No.
No.
But that's it. So you watched it growing up, and then when's have you not watched it recently?
Like, I haven't watched this first episode. I've probably seen in like at least 6-7 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was nice to go back.
Nice to revisit your Kelly
Kapowski
boner.
It was
real nice
to go back. Yeah. I'm going to co-host this podcast with you from now on because I'm so into it.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
No problem.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's no problem.
It'll be great.
Okay, you are at Ben Glebe on Twitter.
Yes.
You do a podcast called The Last Week on Earth.
Yes, it's called Last Week on Earth. It's on Smodcast Network, Kevin Smith's
nice.
Network.
Awesome.
And every week I summarize everything that happened on the planet Earth. So what you do for Saved by the Bell, I do for all of the planet.
For all of the planet.
And
damn.
It's a lot of research goes into every episode. So I hope people listen because you literally learn the news stories.
Okay, cool.
And it's hopefully funny as well.
Awesome.
And I make less racist jokes there.
That's cool that you saved them
like
for
a one-off.
This. Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Totally.
Okay, everyone. That was another episode of Go Bayside. I have some stuff I want to say here. First of all, I want to thank a lovely lady named Jordan who emailed me what seems to be a master list of the order of this, because I know I talk about how I have 17,000 documents. So I might go by this, and I'm going to have to fill in some holes on the Netflix order. But as of now, I have the next episode that's coming up is going to be No Hope with Dope. That's going to be the next episode. Also, I want to thank two very generous gentlemen who gave me very generous donations, Scott Valentine and Paul Garrett. You guys are awesome. I appreciate it. And if you guys want to donate, there's a PayPal button on the Tumblr because, yeah, you know, it costs money to host this and everything. So if you feel like you want to, go for it. The Tumblr is gobayside.tumblr.com. And that's where I can always be found. And also subscribing on iTunes is awesome. Leaving me nice reviews on iTunes is the best. And I appreciate everyone who has done so far. And I will see you guys next time on Go Bayside. Go Bayside!